Welcome to Hoboken Grace. As Jason said earlier, if today's your first time with us, we're just super excited to have you. Right now, we're in the middle of this conversation called Experience. And for those of you who don't know me, my name's Chris High. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Hoboken Grace. And a couple weeks ago, we began this conversation and we began to look at, okay, how can we begin to move away from just knowing about to actually knowing God? And we looked at this passage that just kind of changes the way that for a lot of us we look at this whole journey where we begin to see how when it comes to things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and patience, like that these things aren't things that God gives us, but that they're actually fruit of God in our lives. That they're actually the byproduct of our experience of God. And so as you begin to realize that, you begin to understand that if that is true, that if these things, love, joy, peace, these things that we so crave, these things that we pursue in all sorts of different ways in our lives, if these things are the byproduct, not of knowing about God, but of actually knowing God, if they're the byproduct of consistently just experiencing Him over and over and over and over again, then there are a couple things that are true. Number one, you begin to understand that this experience of Him is probably the most valuable thing that you could ever pursue. But then in addition to that, you also begin to realize that so many of the other pursuits that we have in life are really based on this pursuit. And so you look at the pursuit of love and the way that we're pursuing love and the relationships that we have with those around us. I think about my wife and I and pursuing love with my wife. When you begin to understand this truth that we've seen that love is actually the byproduct of my experience of God, I begin to understand that my pursuit of my wife is actually based on or dependent upon my pursuit of God. And we've been looking at how in your life and my life, God is leading us to lay aside all of the other things that we so often think are valuable, all the other things that we so often pursue, to make our number one pursuit not knowing about Him, but actually knowing Him, experiencing Him over and over and over again, so that this fruit of Him can begin to just explode in our lives. In all these different places, in all these different ways, and begin to influence all these other aspects of who we are and how we're able to love those around us, how we're able to lead and influence those around us. And so we've begun this journey to ask this question: how do we move from knowing about to knowing? How do we move from simply gathering information on a weekly basis? How do we move from sitting down and reading God's Word to simply gather information to actually moving through this journey and living life with the purpose of knowing Him, experiencing Him? How? And we began last week and we took the first step in this, and we began to look at these three individuals' lives that we see in the Old Testament. These three people who experienced God in just unbelievably powerful ways. And we looked at Abraham and Moses, and we spent a large amount of time looking at this individual David who had such a unique relationship with God, just consistently experiencing Him time and time and time again. And we saw that in their stories, there are certain things that are consistent. The first of which is the fact that if you're going to experience God, then you're going to have to take steps of faith, giant steps of faith. And we looked at how if we're going to begin to move from knowing about to knowing, then we've got to change our perspective on those situations where we're called into giant steps of faith. We've got to stop looking at those things as something to fear, as something to be nervous about, and begin to look at those moments and those times as gold, as unbelievably valuable, that this is it, this is my chance to be able to experience Him. And begin to move into those with reckless abandon, to dive into those steps of faith, because we know that this is our chance to be able to experience that which is most valuable, to be able to make the most of the time that we've been given. And the truth is that life is short. And those opportunities, sometimes they're not as frequent as we might imagine. And to begin to look at those moments, and rather than allowing them to pass by, but to take those steps of faith, to dive into it. And in the midst of it, as the song that we just sang stated, in the midst of it, to be able to find Him. The one that we so, so desire. And when we began this conversation, I challenged you that as we go into the summer, to make this summer the summer that you experience God more than ever before. A summer not in which you learn about God more than ever before, but where you experience God more than ever before. And so the first week we changed our prayer and we began to pray more than anything else, above all else, God, I just want to know you. And then last week I challenged you as you went out to be able to identify, okay, what is a step of faith that you can take? And maybe it's something that God has clearly communicated to you, or maybe it's just something where you realize that something needs to be done and love needs to be shown. And so you're just going to step into that and just trust God to use you in the midst of that situation. And I challenged you as you went out to walk through this past week and to be able figure out, okay, what is the step that you're going to take this summer so that you can pursue Him? As you went through the week, what did you decide? Did you lay out a plan? What's the step that you're going to take? And this morning, as we begin, I want to take us back there for just a moment. I want to remind you of that because here's the thing. If we continue through this series and you learn about experience, but you don't begin to actually put it into practice, we're wasting our time. You're wasting your time. It would have been better if you just slept in. What's the step you're going to take? And as we walk through conversations like this, where I know that there's things that we need to really grab hold of and actually put into action and move on, I'm always tempted to be able to do something that I saw a small group leader of mine do years ago. And I was in college at the time. There were like 8 or 9 of us who were part of this small group, and we would get together and we were reading through this study book and looking at how we could impact one another's lives and impact the lives of the people around us. The truth is, most of the time we just goofed off and had fun together, but there were times that were meaningful in this as well, and our leader was trying desperately to make it meaningful. We weren't necessarily working with him in that, but he was trying desperately to make it meaningful. And I remember one week in particular, and it's actually something that drastically changed my life. It's actually impacted our church in huge ways here, in the way that we've set about how we look at church and how we do church here together, because we sat down one week and there were, again, I think like 8 or 9 of us, and we were studying through this, and the leader led us through this weekly study, and we were talking, I think, that week about tithing. And he led us through this study, and we got to the end of it, and we're like, oh wow, that's great. Yeah, like definitely you should, you know, we're gonna do that. This is gonna be incredible. And we went out. And then we came back in the next week and we're all excited, and we sat down and the leader's like, okay, so last week we talked about putting this step into action. How many of you were able to do that this past week? One guy raised his hand and we're all like, brown noser. But one guy raised his hand and he said, okay, I want you to open up the page, and I don't remember what the page was, but he said, I want you to open your book up the page. And so we opened it up, and he starts to walk us through the exact same lesson that we had done the week before. And about like 2 or 3 minutes into it, somebody raised their hand and like, we did this last week. And he said something that I'll never forget. He said, no, we talked about this last week. One of you did this last week. And so we walked through the lesson again, and we went out, and we're like, yeah, this is great, yeah, it's awesome. And we came back together the next week, and he's like, all right, so last week, how many of you put it into practice? And three people raised their hand, and he said, all right, I want you to open up to page. And we went back to the exact same thing, and for 5 weeks, it took us 5 weeks to get that thing into action. And one of the reasons why we do dinner groups the way that we do here, where it's so focused on application, is because of what I learned in that small group. And that is this. You can't just know about. And if this is going to be meaningful, if this journey that we're on, this idea that we're tackling, if this is going to be meaningful, we can't just learn about experience. We have to do it. And so this past week, what was the step? What is it that you're going to do as you go into the summer? What's going to be your step of faith that you're going to jump into? Let's not just talk about it here. But if you weren't able to do it this past week, as you go into this next week, sit down and say, okay, God, what can I do? And maybe, like we said last week, maybe it's something that God's leading you into. Maybe it's something where you're just going to find someone who needs to be loved. You're going to find a situation that needs to be addressed, and you're going to dive into that. Something that's above and beyond who you are. Or you're going to show God's love and grace and mercy in a way that you wouldn't think possible on your own. And to be honest with you, it's been kind of encouraging coming out of last week, because I've had several people who've come up to me and talked to me about steps that they're taking and how last week there were things that God had been wrestling with them about, and they'd just been so hesitant, but now finally they're willing to take that step and not just hesitate in it, but to actually move forward with excitement and confidence. And I want to make sure that we don't miss it, because everything that we're going to be talking about from here on is built on that first week. It's built on that idea of taking the step of faith. But it doesn't stop there. And I think when you look at the lives of these individuals, I think there are other things that, again, we just see over and over and over again that are consistent in these stories that allowed them to be able to experience God in a way that so few people ever did. And so today what I want to do is I want to go to the beginning of another one of those individual stories. And last week we kind of looked at the beginning of David's story, when his experience begins to explode. And today I want to take you to the story of Abraham. And in the passage, he's actually referred to as Abram, because he hasn't yet been given the name Abraham by God. And God changes his name along the journey. But as Abram's story begins, it's quite unique. And I think that there's something that we see here at the beginning of his story, again, that is consistent throughout these individuals' lives, and something that I believe must be consistent in our life as well if we're going to actually know God. And again, I want to reiterate what I said last week. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. I don't care who you are. Jesus Christ gave his life on that cross so that you could know him. There is nothing that will keep you from knowing God outside of you believing the lie that you can't. And I know that there are probably some of you who are sitting here saying, this isn't for me. Oh, that's not for me. No, it is for you, and you can have this. And so today I want to look at this next consistency that we see throughout these stories. The passage that I want to take you to is found in Genesis chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 31. And the story begins kind of in a unique way, because the story of Abram actually begins with his father's story. And there's kind of a unique way in which the story is told that leads us to some interesting conclusions. It begins in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. It says, one day Terah took his son Abram. And so you have Abraham, who in this passage is referred to as Abram, right? His father, Terah, is what we're talking about here. It says, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from the Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. And so the story begins, and it's kind of interesting because we're not really sure why we're told this part of the story, but we're told that Abraham's father is actually, he leaves everything that he knows, and he's traveling from Ur of the Chaldeans, he's traveling to the land of Canaan, but he stops. And we're not told why he stops, but he stops and he settles. And then from there, we're just told how long he lives, and that's the end of his story. And then it jumps into the story of Abraham. It says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. And so you see the story of Abraham's father, and he's moving towards the land of Canaan, but he's stops. And then God comes to Abraham and says, listen, I'm going to take you to the land of Canaan. Leave behind your family. I'm going to take you to the land of Canaan, and you're going to experience me in ways that you cannot fathom. I'm not only going to bless your family, I'm going to bless the entire world through your family. And so as the story continues, you see Abraham pick up and leave. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. And as the story continues, you see that he arrives in the land of Canaan. It says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. And this was just the beginning of this ongoing conversation with God, where Abraham is just experiencing God over and over and over and over again in unbelievable ways. And you look at the beginning of his story, and you see exactly what we saw last week, right? What did it begin with? It began with this huge step of faith. I mean, it's a tremendous step of faith to step out, leave everything that you've known. But not only is it a step of faith, I think there's something else that we see here in this step that's absolutely crucial, and again, is so consistent. And that is this. If you're going to experience God, it's going to require not just faith, but sacrifice. I mean, you look at what Abraham does here. Look at what Abram does here. He steps away from everything that he knows. Everything. And this is difficult, I understand, for us to be able to comprehend, because we live in a world that's so drastically different from his world. And so the idea of leaving family to us does not have the same impact that it would have had in this situation, because we're so connected. We live in this world, right, where we know about everything. And so the idea that you're going to a place you know nothing about is impossible for you to do. There's very few places on the planet that you don't know about in some way, shape, or form. And so we have no comprehension of what it would be to actually go someplace where you know nothing about. He has no context of where he's going. But then also the idea of disconnect is something that's almost foreign to us. Because we're like, oh, you're moving away from your family. Well, what's the big deal? You're just going to Skype like 3-4 times a week, right? I mean, you pick up the phone. For most of us, we wish our families would call less, right? Like, we have no comprehension of what this is about. And so you have to really work to be able to put yourself in his shoes, to be able to understand what he's going through. He's never going to see them again. This isn't a situation where you're just jumping in the car for a weekend visit back home. That's not what's happening. He's literally sacrificing everything. And it's interesting, and this is why I said it's interesting how the story begins, because, and we're not sure why, but for some reason it tells us that his dad was on this journey, but stopped. And we don't know for sure if God had invited him on this journey, but he wasn't willing to go. Or if it's just kind of that they were moving in the same direction. But one principle that I do know is true that we see throughout the scriptures over and over and over again is this. The degree to which you experience God will be the degree to which you are willing to sacrifice for him. And we don't know if Abraham's father wasn't willing to make the sacrifice. But as the story is written, it seems that something kept him from actually finishing the journey. And so as you look at the story of Abraham's father is just a couple verses long. But as you continue the story, you just read chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter of how Abraham experiences God. Why? Because Abraham decided that nothing was more valuable. Nothing was more valuable than him. And you see this throughout the lives of these individuals over and over again. You look at the story of Moses, and again, it's hard to be able to read the stories and put ourselves in their shoes, but you imagine Moses walking up to Pharaoh and saying to Pharaoh, "You need to let your slaves go." Moses was sacrificing his life. If you're Moses, you're thinking, "I'm going to die today." You look at the story of David and you begin to read through the sacrifices that he makes. It's unbelievable. David gives up everything. As he's following God, he ends up in this situation where people are trying to kill him. He's hiding out in caves with all sorts of crazy people. Like literally crazy people. If you read the story, these guys are nuts. And he writes Psalms about how he's just in the midst of this turmoil. But throughout the whole thing, in all three of these individuals' lives, there's just this one consistent thread. It doesn't matter what it costs. I'm willing to give it for one thing. To know him. The same thing is true about Paul. Over and over and over and over again, you see this. If you want to know him, it's going to require sacrifice. And sometimes that sacrifice is going to be like what you see here in this passage where God comes to Abraham and says, "Listen, I want you to make a sacrifice." And so Abraham obeys and sacrifices. But just like last week, as we looked at with this idea of faith, at the same time, there's another aspect of sacrifice. And you see this in the New Testament church in the book of Acts. And so God's doing this unbelievable thing and this church is just exploding. And all of a sudden, all of these people in the church, they begin to come and literally they're selling everything that they own. They're giving of themselves in these unbelievable ways to be able to take care of the poor and to meet people's needs and to do these powerful things inside the community. And they're making these sacrifices over and over and over and over again, not because God asked them to, not out of obedience, but from a different motivation in order to honor him. In order to love him, in order to in some way, shape, or form communicate what he means to them. And when you look throughout scriptures, you see that there are these two ways in which sacrifice shows up in our lives. And one is in obedience and the other is in this way of honoring. And we understand this about relationships, really, if we're honest with ourselves. We understand that if you're going to have a great relationship, it's going to require sacrifice. It just is. If you don't understand this, then you're going to struggle inside of relationships in general. And here's the thing. If we get nothing else out of this conversation as we're walking through it, the most important thing we have to understand is this. It is a relationship. This is a relationship. The change in our experience of God would be so drastic if we could just stop thinking about it as something that we believe in and start thinking about it as someone that we have a relationship with. And we might say that to one another, and we might tell that to one another, but the truth is, for most of us, we just don't think about it that way. But it's a relationship. And we understand that relationships require sacrifice, that growth inside of relationship comes as a result of sacrifice. It's interesting because now I'm in a dinner group that's mostly dads, and so for the past 4 years or so, I've been in dinner groups that are mostly single guys, and the conversation difference is just drastic. It's crazy. It's like two totally different worlds. In particular, especially as it pertains to one aspect of relationship, it's always funny when you're in the single guys group and someone asks people if they want to do something. And so one guy will be like, hey, we're playing basketball on Saturday morning. You want to come? And you always can tell who's single and who's not. Because the single guy is like, yeah, absolutely, I'll be there. And the other guy is like, well, I'll get back to you. And we all know what's happening in that moment, right? But inside that group, they're kind of a little hesitant to say it, that I need to go ask my girlfriend if I can come on Saturday morning to play basketball. In the dad's group, it's totally different, because one of the dads will be like, hey, can you, you know, get together and play basketball on Saturday? And every other dad's like, I have to ask my wife. It just there's like no hesitation. Like, we've just understand that's what it is. Like, that's the life that we live. That's where we are. And so it's just, that's our response. And it's funny because sometimes, you know, we make jokes about this, and you're in the single guys group, and the guy's like, hey, you know, I'll get back to you. And they're like, oh yeah. Right. And all of a sudden the jokes come up, you know, he's whipped, all these different things. You've all been there. We've all been there. And we joke about it a lot, but at the same time, for those of us who understand what it takes to have a healthy relationship, you understand that that's what relationship is. That's what love is. Love is when I say, I'm going to begin to live my life considering you. And I'm going to begin to look at how I spend my time considering you. And I'm going to take you into account, and I'm going to show you that I value you by sacrificing my freedom so that I can show you how much you mean to me. That's what love is. It's consistently making decisions over and over and over again where I say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice for you. Why? Because you're more valuable. Because I want to honor you. Because I want you to feel important. I want you to feel special. I want you to feel loved. We understand this about relationships. At least most of us. The rest of you are still single. I'm sorry. That was hurtful. Don't do unplanned jokes, Chris. But we understand this. And what God's inviting us into is a relationship. And if we want to begin to see that relationship grow, then just as it is with the relationships that we have with those around us, we have to begin to move into it and say, okay, how can I sacrifice? Not just what he's asked me to sacrifice, but how can I begin to bring something to him, something of who I am, my time, my energy, whatever it may be, something of who I am, to be able to show him how important he is to me. As you look at the New Testament church, they weren't asking, what does he want? They're asking, what could I possibly give? What else could I, is there anything else that I could just give a little bit more of so that he would know how much he's worth to me? And for so many of us, when it comes to this idea of sacrifice, just like it is as it is with faith, we look at it and we're hesitant and we're scared. But when you look at the church as it first began, you see these people who are looking for opportunities to sacrifice. Why? Because that's where I get to show him how much I love him. That's where I get to show him that he's more valuable to me than anything else. Than anything else. This morning, let me ask you something. What's holding you back from experience? Is there something in your life that God's asked you to sacrifice that you're holding back? I want to challenge you to change the way that you're looking at that. And let me say for just a second, really quickly as well, I want to challenge you in another aspect of this, because oftentimes we'll look at this and we think that because we're valuing something else above God, because we haven't given it to him yet, that God is disappointed with us or angry with us or distant from us. But here's the thing, and this is what Jesus Christ does in your life and in my life. And one of my great fears as we walk through this morning and as we talk about this morning is that for some of you, it's just going to be deeply convicting, because you know that there are things in your life that are just so much more valuable to you than he is. And one of my great fears is that in that the lie is going to creep in that God doesn't want to talk to you because of that, or that God is angry with you or frustrated with you about that. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ died for that. And he died for that so that in the midst of that, you would not run from him, but that you would run to him, and that you would sit down with him and have a conversation with him about the fact that, you know what, God, I don't understand why I'm more passionate about Facebook than I am about spending time with you, but I don't know what to do about it, God, and I'm broken by it, but this is where I am. You remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about this fruit that explodes in your life. One of the fruit is goodness, right? Goodness, the ability to choose life over death. Your ability, and this is something you have to understand, your ability to begin to value God over those other things in your life is based upon your experience of God. And for so many of us, we find ourselves in these situations where we're identifying our brokenness, and rather than going to him with it, we're scared and we're hesitant because we don't understand grace, we don't trust him about grace, and so we keep a distance, and in the process, we eliminate any possibility that we will ever be successful. And so today, as you're here, and you're realizing this, and realizing, man, I don't know what I'm willing to sacrifice for him, or realizing that, man, there's so many things that are more, don't allow that to take you away from him, but to come to him and to sit with him today and say, God, I don't like this about who I am. I don't like this about what I value, but this is where I am. And maybe for you today, the sacrifice that you need to make is the sacrifice of pride. And to just bring your brokenness. And it's difficult to bring our brokenness before God, because our brokenness is highlighted so incredibly when we step into his presence. But this is not something to drive you away from him. But in the midst of this, God is coming alongside of you, and he's inviting you into this relationship, saying, come, experience me, sit with me. Allow me to love you. And then as he loves you, we have the opportunity to begin to shift this perspective and to start to look at life and to stop trying to hold on to everything and begin to look at life and move through life looking for situations where we can sacrifice for him. looking for situations where we can give above and beyond who we are for those around us. As we go into the summer, and as you begin to walk through this next few months, I want to challenge you to take this step. To look for something. And maybe for some of you, again, it's something that God's told you He wants you to walk away from. Now I want to be really clear about this. I'm not talking about sin. Okay? When God steps into your life and says, hey, listen, stop making bad decisions, that's not a sacrifice. It's just a good idea. Okay? Like it's just better for you. That's not a sacrifice when you walk away from sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that's valuable to you, but that you see and you realize, I could use this in another way to be able to honor God more. And so that time that you usually use for television and relaxation, I realize that I can use this in another way to be able to honor God more. I don't know what it is in your life, time, talents, treasures, whatever it may be. I want to challenge you to evaluate your life, to literally just look through your week, look through your life, look at this summer. One of the ways that we've seen this happen so frequently throughout this year here inside of our family is that so many of you have made the decision that rather than taking that time that you have off from work to be able to go away and to have that vacation and rest, you've decided to take that time and use it to be able to honor God more and to move into these difficult situations on these missions trips to be able to love people in unbelievable, powerful ways. And you listen to those missions trip videos, and what do you hear over and over and over and over again? It was just this powerful experience of God. Why? Because when you sacrifice, in the midst of that, you find God in unique and powerful ways. And you listen to those videos, and you'll hear people talking about love, joy, and peace. All this really powerful fruit that started showing up in their life. What are you willing to sacrifice for Him? Jesus gave His life not so that you could know about Him, but so that you could walk with Him. This summer can be the summer that you experience Him more than ever before. But if that's going to be true, we have to be willing to sacrifice, to be excited to sacrifice so that He would know that above all else, we want Him. Will you pray with me? Father, for so much of this journey, we've looked at it as how we can be loved. But Father, as we understand how You're calling us into this relationship, and as we look at these stories that we see in Abraham's life, and Moses' life, and David's life, we understand that for these three, it wasn't just about how they could be loved, but about how they could love You. What they could bring to You, what they could offer to You. And Father, as we go into this summer, The truth is that we know you're going to love us over and over and over and over again. And Father, we get to celebrate that and enjoy that and soak that in. But Father, we don't want to just be the recipient. We want to know you. We want a relationship with you. We want to experience you. So Father, we want to begin to look at the time ahead of us and say, okay, how can we love you more with this? How can we give to you more with this? How can we honor you more with this? Father, please don't allow us to live a shallow existence with you. To have our relationship with you simply be that of an acquaintance. But continue to draw us deeper into this friendship. Above all else, we want one thing. We want you. In Jesus' name, amen.